on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love.
This morning we sing your praises and worship, Almighty God, for you bring forth life in every corner of creation. Help us, we pray, to honor you not only with our lips, but with our lives. Remake us according to your designs to live in the image of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. It is so good to be with each of you here again today. Do you guys have hobbies? Do you guys have those activities that you like to do in your spare times or things that you like to collect? Some people like to read. Some people like to build things out of blocks and Legos. Other people might like to collect things like stamps and rocks and seashells and baseball cards. Some people's activities might be outside, like golf and running and fishing and hiking and camping. And as I thought about the hobbies I like to do and the things I like to collect, I thought to myself, what kind of hobbies would God have? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that God had any hobbies, and so I had to use my imagination. And so I thought maybe something God would like to do is bird watching. I can imagine God sitting up in heaven, looking down on the earth, and looking at all the beautiful and wonderful birds that he created. I can see God with his binoculars looking down and pointing and calling each of the birds out. Look, there's a cardinal, there's a robin, there's a hawk, there's an eagle, and look, there are some sparrows. Of course God would see sparrows because there are millions and millions of sparrows. A plain, common, brown sparrow. Now, in our Bible story this morning, Jesus is talking to his disciples and telling them not to be afraid. Jesus said, don't be afraid of those who threaten you. Then he goes on to say that two sparrows can be bought for one penny, but not one sparrow will hit the ground without God knowing it. How much more valuable are you than a whole flock of sparrows? You see, in Jesus' time, sparrows were very common too, and you could go and buy two sparrows for one penny. And even though the sparrows were very cheap birds, they were still very important, and God loved them. So just imagine how much God loves and cares about you, who is worth more than, way more than just one penny like the sparrows do are. And some people even say that God must love the common people because he made so many of us as well. But you know, I don't think God sees us as just common, ordinary people. Because if he did, he wouldn't love us in uncommon and extraordinary ways. The Bible says this. It says that we should give all our worries and cares to God, for he cares about us. We are more precious to him than a whole flock of sparrows. And we know just how much God loves the sparrows. Shall we pray? Dear God, we know that we are precious in your sight. We thank you for loving us with such an uncommon and extraordinary love. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's kids shout it out. Amen.
Just as Pastor Justin said that we should share our cares and our worries with God, we gather close as a family this morning to gather in prayer, to lift up our joys, our worries, our concerns, and just to pray for other people, to pray for our country, to pray for all those things that might be weighing on us. We seek your strength and determination to embrace your children, to love them and heal them, to share with them your great good news of hope and new life. You have called us who have experienced your all-consuming love and grace to take action, even at our own risk, to meet our world and all its needs with the goodness and mercy of Christ. When we are timid in faith built up, when we are careless about the troubles all around us, wake us up to the needs and the cries that surround us. Build your church, O Lord, into the community of loving, peacemaking, justice-seeking people that you intended when you sent your own beloved here to suffer with us, to experience our joys and sorrows, our fears and griefs, our pain and tears. here in this place and in every place where the name of Jesus is lifted up, revive our commitment to the faith we have professed. Hear us as we lift to you our deepest needs, our pressing burdens, hopes. Be near us, we pray, as your people. We are not in all of this all alone, O God. We share this world with those who are embattled by war and injustice, those who are fighting loneliness, fear, disease, and grief, and hear us as we pray for them. Embolden us to strive with them for new life, health, wholeness, and peace. We lift to you the leaders of this and every nation, community, and faith, that they would be guided by your Spirit and aware of the needs, especially of the least of their people. Let your Spirit fall upon us again as we pray for those we hold dear, for those that we name to you in our hearts, for our own needs. All that we are and all that we have belongs to you, O God. Help us to risk living with the confidence of your children as we lift these and all our prayers to you in the name and Spirit of Christ. We lift our voices together to pray the prayer that he taught his disciples, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning we continue our reading through the book of Ezra as we discover a new normal, as the people in the book of Ezra discover their new normal. And so this morning we turn to Ezra chapter 6, beginning with verse 13. Then, according to the word sent by King Darius Tattenai, the governor of the province beyond the river, Shetharbozenai and their associates did with all diligence what King Darius had ordered. So the elders of the Jews built and prospered through the prophesying of the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, son of Edo. They finished their building by command of the God of Israel and by decree of Cyrus, Darius, and King Artaxerxes of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. The people of Israel, the priests and the Levites, and the rest of the returned exiles celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy.
When my wife's grandfather was alive, he would go for a drive around town every single day. He was born and raised and lived his entire life down in Canton, Missouri, this tiny little town of about 2,500 people in northeast Missouri. It's this lovely little town that's kind of a sleepy little town these days, but back in the day, it was booming. Back in the day when it was really thriving, it had two grocery stores, a handful of restaurants, three gas stations, and even a grain elevator. The town of Canton is not very big, and so it only takes you about 3 minutes to drive from the far north side of town to the far south side of town. And sometimes you have to come to even a complete stop whenever you reach the flashing red light near the bank just down the street from the Casey's. Other times you can kind of roll right through this flashing red light. But there's not normally a whole lot of traffic in town. There wasn't a whole lot going on in town back in the day, but if there was, he knew all about it. For Liz's grandfather, since he had lived in this town his whole entire life, knew everyone and everything. And so on his daily drives around town, he would bring back reports of what was happening. Well, the folks there on White Street are still painting their house. They've been painting every day all week long. The people up there in the 400 block of College Avenue, they cut down their front oak tree yesterday. Today they ground down the stump, he would say. I wonder what the Johnsons are doing up on Main Street. They've been working in that garage every single day I've driven by. They're still working in the garage. He would drive around town and bring back a report, checking in on everyone and everything. He was retired. He had nothing else to do but bring back progress reports. He would see it all happen in every situation in their little city. And it's like that. At least for me, it's like that whenever I read the scriptures today, I can almost picture the scene that is set by Ezra. If you've been through here in these past few weeks, then you know that we're in this new normal sermon series, and we've been following the exiles as they've been able to go back home and return from their exile. And now that they are able to go back home, they can restart the life that they left behind. Much like for us, things are opening up for us, and we can try to re-enter the world that we left behind back in March. And so last week at Ezra, we heard about how the foundation of the new temple had been laid, and the old temple was long gone, and so this new temple was being built, and it's on the way. And so in the scripture reading today, we can imagine how the Israelites had been watching the progress day by day. They would have gone by on their way to work. They'd pass by on the way home. They would stop and they would visit with their friends, and they would almost comment about how it was the same or different than the previous temple. And you can almost hear the words come from their lips. I wonder why those bricks are being laid there. It wasn't like that before, you can hear them say. That's not how my grandparents did things, you can hear them say. But you can picture them day after day talking about the progress that is being made, reporting back into each other. But now here today, the work is done, and there is much rejoicing. The work is complete. People can go in. Their spiritual home is ready to be worshiped in again. We can imagine the feeling of coming to worship here in just a few short weeks. When we can come back into our sanctuary and be in our spiritual home, we can picture the rejoicing that took place in all those days when they were living in limbo, when they are worshiping in places that they were not used to. But now the temple is done. They've watched the progress, and it's amazing. And for them, it's wonderful to be home. But to be honest, my guess is that for them, when they first came back to that temple, it was a bit wonky. It was not exactly as they remember it. I mean, it looks and it feels and it smells different than that first temple. To be honest, you can imagine that for those Israelites, it might take a while to get comfortable and to be used to it. I mean, I remember whenever we moved here to Iowa from living in Illinois, and it took us forever to find some things. For you know that whenever you pack your whole entire life up and you put it into boxes and you load it onto a truck and then you move it someplace else, it is hard to find everything again. I mean, it is best for everything to have its place and for everything to actually be in its place. But when the house is new and it's different, it's hard to find that place. Like for a while, I could not find for the life of me where we had placed the extension cords in our house. I knew exactly where they were when they lived in the down hall closet in the parsonage that we lived in for 8 years and we lived in Illinois. I can still mentally walk down that hallway and open the closet on the right hand side and find the extension cords easy peasy. But in our new house, it took me forever to find them. It must have been like that for the Israelites, watching the progress, seeing it all being done, excited and ready to go to this new home. But at the beginning, it was uncomfortable. This new temple that brought new traditions and new rituals and a new place. I mean, there was rejoicing, the Bible says, but it was strange. It seems to me that this is where our world is now. Everything is strange. Everything is uncomfortable. We're not quite sure where we should be or where things go. We've been watching the progress as we're living through this pandemic, and it is uncomfortable. There's a part of us that simply wants to start over so that we can return back to real life. But there's another part of us that is rather hesitant. Everything feels off. And the whole world was paused and postponed with no handshakes or hugs. along with this, talking about race is uncomfortable for some. Dealing with both the underlying and also the overt racism around us is uncomfortable and makes us uneasy. For others, this is how it has always been for them, but for others of us, it makes us shift in our seats. We know what it's like for those Israelites. God knew what it's like for them. For the grandparents and great-grandparents of those Israelites in the temple today were the same ones complaining to God when they were stuck in the wilderness, wishing they could go back to slavery of all things because they were tired of living in the unknown. We know what it's like. God knows what it's like to be here in these times that are wonky and weird. But in these things, in these times, we have to trust that God is creating something new out of all this discomfort. We have to trust that God knows what God is doing. Because if God created life out of the chaos at the beginning of creation, at the beginning of time, then don't we know that God can still create new life out of the chaos here and now? It is messy and these times are uncomfortable. And sometimes we can see the progress, but sometimes it feels like we're going backwards. But God is here. And because of that, we can rejoice with singing and give thanks. Life is messy and life is uncomfortable now. But that just means that God is not finished with us yet. Amen.
The source of life, I can't be left behind. No one else will do. I will take hold of you, 'cause I need you, Jesus. Come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. I will follow you. Trust in you, 'cause I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. This world has nothing for me. 'Cause I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. capture me with grace, I will follow you. I will follow you. I will follow you.
Thanks so much for joining us online for worship here today. We hope that worship has filled your spirit and renewed you for your own journey of faith. If during this time you would like to follow Jesus Christ and make him your Lord and Savior, we hope that you will reach out to us so we can pray with you and we can be in conversation with you and we can help you learn to follow Jesus Christ in your life here today or throughout these coming weeks. And so we look forward to praying with you and to visiting with you. Along with us, if you'd like to help us live out our vision to be a church that is growing in faith and sharing God's love and offer your own tithes and offerings, you can do so by clicking on the giving button on our church website, or you can mail your check in to us here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington, Iowa. We give thanks to God for all of our gifts that we have received over these past few months. We are so very grateful for all of them together because it is the same work of Christ that we are still doing even during these strange and odd days. If you're here in town, we hope that you'll join us for drive-in church later on this morning at 10:45 here in our church parking lot. It'll be great to see you from your cars. It'll be great to see you back here with us whenever we resume worship in the next few weeks. And so we are praying for us all as we look forward to being here together. Let's sing our final hymn. Peace to serve our Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. Let's go now in peace. Amen.